KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Seminary Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and Guestapalooza Week continues. I'm super excited for our next guest this morning. He's going to be joining us at 8:20. His name is Wade, and he is from the Grand Cinema in downtown Tacoma. Really, really awesome nonprofit movie theater down there in downtown Tacoma. And he hosts the Weird Elephant series. It's a series that's been going on for a little bit, but this week, they're starting to do a movie series that's really, really near and dear to my heart. They're doing the Cornetto Trilogy. For those of you who don't know, it's a trilogy, three movies, directed by Edgar Wright. And each one of them is a little bit different. They don't have a continuous storyline, but they consist of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End. And I am so very excited to have him up here and talk all about what it means to be a Weird Elephant movie and cult classics, and in particular these three movies that are coming up for the Weird Elephant series. So if you want to win tickets to that, we have those, our last pair, at 253-833-5004. It's going to be 6:30. 7:30 and 8:30. We also have your six pack this morning. We have your geeky news at 6:20. We got hashed out. Like I said, Guestapalooza Week, 8:20. We have Wade from the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. So stay tuned this morning. I'm super pumped. I couldn't be more excited. Shaun of the Dead is one of my favorite movies, and that's the one that's going to be playing this Saturday. It's March 4th. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll be back with your geeky news after Les and Jake, All My Friends Metalheads.
Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news.
Geeky news. 89.9 KGRGFM. That was Swing Life Away by Rise Against. But it's time for your geeky news, and we're gonna get some YouTube related stuff, because it's been a while since we've talked YouTube at all, and Thursday's definitely been getting me in the YouTube nude. I've watched a lot of Game Grumps lately. Last night we watched a lot of GTS Live. So, it's a good morning for YouTube. Let's talk some YouTube. Supposedly we watch about 1 billion hours of YouTube daily, and it's about to increase, which is kind of exciting. Especially when you hear why. YouTube, the black hole of the internet, recently reached a new milestone. People around the world are now watching billions of hours of YouTube content every day. So to put that in perspective, Christos Goodrow, Vice President of Engineering, wrote a blog entry, quote, if you were to sit and watch a billion hours of YouTube, it would take you over 100,000 years. Which is to say, it's impossible feat for just one person to do on their own. Boasting more than a billion global users, YouTube is seen as one of is seen by almost one-third of all people on the internet. So are clips of late-night talk shows, movie trailers, and DIY makeup tutorials. Around the world, people are spending a billion hours every day rewarding their curiosity, discovering great music, keeping up with the news, and connecting with their favorite personalities, or catching up with the latest trends, said Goodrow. The achievement, he continued, represents the enjoyment of fantastically diverse videos that creative people make every single day. YouTube, meanwhile, is celebrating those people with a new live TV experience. The new YouTube TV features streaming from more than 40 networks, including ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, Comcast, Sportsnet, MSNBC, USA, Fox, or FX, Disney Channel, Bravo, and more. Users can add on programs like Showtime and Fox Soccer Plus for an additional charge. The cloud DVR records as many shows as you want simultaneously without using previous data or space on your phone. Product manager director Christian Osterlin wrote a separate blog post. Recordings are stored for as long as 9 months. Watch YouTube TV on any iOS or Android screen, mobile, tablet, or computer, and stream in your living room, bedroom, or even hotel via Google Chromecast or Chromecast built-in. For $35 a month, members control up to 6 accounts, each with unique recommendations and personal DVR, as well as access to YouTube Red original series and movies. This is pretty intense. Yeah, that basically sounds like an ad for YouTube, and I'm not getting paid for that. I wish I was, but I'm not. $35 a month for cable isn't terrible, but granted, you kind of have to have the internet to do it, which begs the question, are we slowly moving away from cable networks and traditional internet in general? I know that with my phone plan, I can actually turn my phone into a wireless hotspot. Granted, it sucks the hell out of my data, and once I hit a certain point, yeah, I have unlimited data, but once I hit a certain point, it just sort of throttles it and reduces my speed. So I don't think I'd be able to just sort of sit here and constantly watch, you know, network TV, but having that option on my phone, it's honestly pretty legit. Next bit of geeky news we have, Logan could be getting a black and white version. Leading up to the release of Logan, we've seen a lot of black and white marketing material for the film. After seeing all those beautiful black and white photos, we think it'd be pretty cool to see a black and white version of the film, but never really expected it to happen. Now it sounds like there's actually a chance that the black and white version of the film could exist at some point. A fan reached out to director James Mangold, telling him he needed to work on a black and white version of Logan, and to which Mangold replied, quote, working on it, and that's really exciting. It sounds to me that something Mangold has actually been trying to do to make happen. And I certainly hope he succeeds in his efforts because there are a lot of fans out there who would love to see it. And it's going to follow along the same lines as, like, Mad Max Fury Road, where they released the, the Black and Chrome Edition, I think they called it. And Walking Dead for a while did something similar, where they re-released all of their episodes in black and white. And I actually went through and watched it. Now to say I prefer it, that's not the case. But as a fan, and actually sitting down and watching, because I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead, sitting down and rewatching it in a different way, it definitely changed the watching experience. So it might get me to see the movie twice, especially in theaters. Very rarely do I ever see a movie twice in theaters. If I really like a movie that much, I'll wait to stream it or wait to buy it as soon as it comes out. But yeah, very rarely have I ever actually seen a movie twice. This might get me to do it because, again, it's going to change that whole viewing experience. Last bit of geeky news, and I'm, again, super excited because I just finished watching the series on Hulu. Gravity Falls creator Alex Hirsch joins animated Spider-Man movie. Gravity Falls creator Alex Hirsch has joined Sony's animated Spider-Man film. The film, which introduces Spider-Man Miles Morales into the mainstream audience, was announced last month. Hirsch has joined the project as a story contributor, which means he'll probably be spiking in a lot of Freemason and Illuminati references like he did in Gravity Falls. All kidding aside, it's super cool to see someone as talented as Hirsch to join the team and tell the story of Miles Morales. It's also super cool that Sony is playing a big screen animated Spider-Man film that will introduce a different Spider-Man than the one portrayed by Tom Holland. Not a whole lot of details are known about this project at this time, but you know, stuff comes up. It's geeky news, so we'll keep people updated. That's your geeky news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We got your Wrigley news coming up next after she got arrested by the Interrupters, as well as your first chance this morning to win our last pair of Weird Elephant Shaun of the Dead tickets. That's right, we have one pair left if you want to win them. That phone number is 253-833-5004. Get ready to call.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Weird Elephant Film Series at the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. If you want to win tickets to that, call 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004. It's a free pair of tickets to see Shaun of the Dead, and it's a little bit more than just watching a movie. It's basically a giant party. You get adult beverages juice for people of age. You get a costume contest if you want to do your favorite Shaun of the Dead cosplay, maybe dress up as a zombie. We got huge prizes for that. And they also have ice cream, believe it or not. So if you want to win tickets to that, that's 253-833-5004. We have Wade. He's actually coming in studio live at 8:20 to talk about that, so.
Oh, really? That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yes!
I'm super excited. Like, to actually talk to a film buff about a film series that he's putting on, he's super excited about. And we're all about DIY projects, right?
Yeah.
Let's go and get in some news then.
Okay.
This morning's news is a little weird.
I'm scared.
For example, we'll save the weird part for last. But we'll start off with the fact that this has been the coldest winter in 32 years. So, like, since before either of us were born.
I'm 45.
If you were born after 1985, then you wouldn't have experienced the coldest winter of your life. The National Weather Service says the Seattle area has the coldest winter season since the winter of 1984-1985, and one of the top 20 coldest winters since record-keeping began in 1984. The agency says the average temperatures taken at the SeaTac Airport weather station were colder than normal for December, January, and February, with 21 more nights near or below freezing than normal. Those 3 months also had fewer days with highs above 50 degrees and far more days with lows below 35 degrees than normal. We saw an average amount of rainfall over the winter. Snow was the big showstopper, I can speak this morning, making the season's snowiest winter since the winter of 2008-2009, with 11.2 inches of snow reported at SeaTac, and this is actually the first winter that Seattle has had more snow than Minneapolis, which is kind of huge. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. That's something. I mean, oh, that's a lot of snow.
Well, just personally, I mean, I'm living on my own, or at least with roommates, and we had to pay our utility bill every other month.
Yeah.
And because of the heat bill, and we had to definitely crank it this winter, it sucked. It sucked hard.
What was the difference, like, in your utility bill? Like, how, was it a lot?
Yeah. Like, so normally for like cable and internet and just like electricity, we'll split it four ways and we'll all pay like $70 or something like that. If that, like, I think during the summer it'll even go as low as like $50 because we don't use the heat. Because of the heating and everything for the house, we end up paying like $110. It was kind of ridiculous. Next news story we have for you this morning, Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch is back on the market for $67 million.
Oh, God.
So if you have $67 million just laying around, it could be yours. But Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch is back on the market, and the asking price is $67 million. The 2,700-acre property near Santa Barbara, California, has been renamed Sycamore Valley Ranch. The listed price represents a significant cut from the $100 million it was on the market for last year. In addition to the 12,000-square-foot main residence and 3,700-square-foot pool house, the listing boasts a separate building with a 50-seat movie theater and dance studio. Other features on the ranch are a Disney-style train station, a firehouse, and a barn. Jackson sold the ranch to Colony Capital prior to 2009 and his death for $22.5 million. And they had... Colony Capital's headed by Thomas Barrick, a confident fundraiser for... Donald Trump.
Interesting.
Yeah, 200. So that's a big dip. So it went from 22.5 million up to 100 million since his death, and now it's down to 67 million. I don't think I'd want to buy it unless it was called Neverland Ranch, because, like, that is kind of an iconic place, kind of an iconic name.
Yeah.
Plus, what other, like, houses have names after, like, anymore? Like, You don't hear about that anymore. I think Prince's was the last one. I forgot the name of it, too.
Like, Manor or something? Like.
Yeah, it's just... You don't have famous houses or, like, ranches or whatever with names after them. It's not a thing anymore.
Bring that back, America.
Right? Dude, I'm gonna start naming my house. The only places that have names anymore are, like...
Safeway.
Well, like, Safeway, or, like, I guess. But, like, places that do house shows. Like, they'll name the venue, like, the house is a venue, but that's about it. Last news story we have for the for this hour. A Jacksonville man was arrested for repeatedly stealing his neighbor's underwear from the garage. And I don't get that either. Like, I don't get the underwear appeal.
That's weird.
A Jacksonville man was arrested after he allegedly stole his neighbor's underwear out of her garage several times. The woman told police that he saw surveillance video showing 56-year-old Nicholas Rojas entering her garage and stealing her underwear. She told officers she decided to confront him when she saw him enter her garage for the third time on Monday. She opened the door while he was still inside. She told officers that Rojas asked her if she had any lemons, and she told him she did not, and he left. The woman told police she went to his house and asked him why he took her underwear. She said he admitted he took it, but did not give any back. I don't get the whole, like, underwear thing. Like, I know that you can go to Japan and, like, buy used underwear out of vending machines. There are dudes, like, panty raids used to be a thing. Like, do you remember that?
I mean, not personally, but...
Well, I'd be concerned if you've ever personally experienced a panty raid, but, like, even on SpongeBob. Like, it was a thing on SpongeBob when, like, Mr. Krabs and SpongeBob went on a panty raid.
I do remember that.
I don't get it, though, especially, like, a 56-year-old dude.
It's like a perv thing, man.
I guess to each...
The way I said that made me sound really pervy.
Perv Life 2017.
It's like a perv thing, man. Yeah. I don't know what just happened.
That's news for this hour. We got Hash It Up coming up next after Cherry Glazer. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KJRTFM.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
KGRG 89.9 FM. Hash It Out is where we find those hashtags trending on Twitter, and we read our favorite responses, because, you know, Twitter can be great sometimes, and other times it can be a terrifying, terrifying place.
Yeah, it can get weird.
For example, things that are going to start getting weird for Hashed Out.
Oh, no. I'm scared.
We have hashtag odd uses for duct tape if you're talking about getting weird.
I mean, 50 Shades Darker.
Oh, we have hashtag reading makes me blank.
Yeah.
And then hashtag modern safety film strips.
Okay.
Like, that's something I don't miss ever having to do was back in my first job, once a month we had... like, monthly training videos that we had to sit down at the computer and watch. Animation was awful. It was just, like, really, really simple stuff. Like, hey, if you're using a ladder, make sure it's, like, I guess, put out all the way, or, like...
You got animated ones?
Kind of.
Or, like, the really bad acting.
They were animated, but, like... It was just, like, little drawings or, like, little cartoons, but they didn't actually move. It's kind of sad.
Oh. That is sad.
But let's go ahead and get into our first hashtag. Hashtag odd uses for duct tape. For example, apparently duct tape makes a good babysitter.
That duck's, like, being hung, basically.
We also have hashtag... odd uses for duct tape, Round's jersey life extender.
All right.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Oh, no.
Jerseys are expensive.
So, picture this. Toilet roll dispenser, but just the cardboard's there. And it says, how desperate are you, in Sharpie, on the cardboard, and then there's just a roll of duct tape instead of toilet paper.
Oh, no.
No.
That's not a good use for duct tape.
It's not a good time at all.
It's a good use for waxing, but not a good use for
duct
tape.
Nope.
Yeah, hashtag odd uses for duct tape for fixing last minute airplane problems.
Nope.
No?
A low cost alternative to a paint job. Somebody, like, duct taped the entire, like, exterior, like, paint of their car. Like, I'm shook over this. Like, this is a professional job.
Hashtag odd uses for duct tape. Repairing your duct. I've never actually seen anybody use duct tape on a duct before. We also have hashtag uses for duct tape. Surgical bandages.
Oh, God.
You've never done that before?
No, I just saw a picture that I wish I could unsee.
Dude, my dad used to do that all the time. Like, if we ever got an injury or something in his garage... if it was on, like, his arm or his leg, if it was, like, a burn, he'd just, you know, take a towel or take some sort of gauze and you wrap it in duct tape, and that's your bandage. You know that sucker's not coming off either. We'll go ahead and move on to our second hashtag for this morning. Hashtag reading makes me blank. I haven't actually sat down and read in a while, which is a little weird. I used to read all the time, but now Thursday's the reader in their relationship.
Take it back. You deserve it too, Corey.
Hashtag reading makes me extremely happy and it removes me from this boring and mundane world.
Same.
I guess there are articles I read on like websites sometimes.
You read the little stories during the news.
I do read little stories during the news.
Look at you go.
I do know how to read. Hashtag reading makes me think about my wondrous parents and grandparents and the love of reading and writing they instilled in me. Aw.
Reading makes me tired. Like, if I can't sleep, I just read a book.
Well, Danica, who taught you how to read?
Hooked on phonics, like every other kid in the 90s. Come on now.
Oh, I haven't heard those commercials in forever. Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Does it work?
I mean, I had a very high reading level as a child, so.
Because, like, weirdly enough, one of my mom's ex-boyfriends taught me how to read.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't my dad, wasn't my mom, wasn't my grandparents. It was like, my mom's ex-boyfriend, and then I ended up having to get, like, a reading and writing tutor because my handwriting was just god-awful.
Like, the library in Belle, like, or not in Belle, but Beauty and the Beast, like, that was goals. That was all I ever wanted in life.
Hashtag reading makes my eyes go all weird sometimes, and the words get blurry, usually on white paper, but I'm sure it's normal. I mean, glasses, though, right? It just sounds like that person needs glasses.
Shout out to my dad, who has still not mailed me back my glasses after I forgot them there at Christmas time.
Still?
Dad, it's March now. It's March.
What? Why? Like, hit him up again.
I will.
Then we have our last one here. Hashtag modern safety films. For example, hashtag modern safety films, how to recognize a catfish. I've been catfished a few times.
Okay, when you said catfish for some reason, I thought of the actual, like, catfish.
Like the fish
Yeah.
No, like catfish the thing.
I get that now, but for some reason, I was just like, what's wrong with catfish? Like, are they not recognizable?
Hashtag modern safety films. Ghosting and you, how to safely avoid a slightly uncomfortable situation. What is ghosting?
Ghosting is like when you're talking to a girl or a guy and like they're really into you and like you're just like, I'm not really feeling it, but I'm not going to be like, you know what, good luck, but I don't think this is going to work out. You just completely stop talking to them and they're like, oh my God, like this person died.
And now I know.
Yeah.
Hashtag modern safety film strips, blocking your boss on social media. That's like 90% of the reason I've stopped posting anything on Facebook anymore. It's just because I realized how many coworkers I have on there. And I love my coworkers, and most of them, like, they wouldn't care. But I'm always just super paranoid of, like, that one picture, that one post that my boss is going to be like, wow, you're a horrible, horrible human being. Why did I hire you?
Yeah.
Like, adding a boss was a mistake. I realize that now. And now I'm too paranoid to unfriend them.
Just do it, man.
They'd know.
Just do it.
But that was hashed out for this morning. The hashtags were hashtag odd uses for duct tape, hashtag reading makes me blank, and hashtag modern safety films. You can participate by hitting us up on Twitter and on Facebook using any of the hashtags. That's @TheBuzzKGRG. We'll be back after... Let's hear. We'll do...
What are we doing?
I had a song. I had a song lined up, and then the computer was like, nope. We're going to do She Lied to the FBI by Outkline Trio.
Okay.
KJRG-FM, KJRG-FM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP, Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And earlier during Geeky News, I mentioned the whole black and white movie thing with Logan and how, honestly, I... don't ever go back and watch movies twice in the theater, but sometimes I'll go and rewatch like some sort of series if it changes up the viewing process, if it makes me think about it.
Okay.
But there are movie series, there are TV series that no matter what, I will just sit down and watch, and I will rewatch and rewatch no matter how many times I've seen it before. For example, I just watched Gravity Falls for the first time, that series, and I think that's going to be one that makes the list, even though they aren't releasing any new episodes or anything like that anymore, but the show is really, it was a lot of fun, and I think that's one of the main requirements is that it has to be fun. The Office is another one for me where,
yes.
Like, I'm watching through that This is the second time in, like, 2 months. And I'm not sure what it is about that show.
Because it's great, that's what.
Yeah, what makes it great, though? Like, what makes a show something worth watching over and over again for you?
Like, the cast. Like, if there's a good cast, and, like, you can tell that, like, there's just really good chemistry between them, and, like, there's so many people in that cast that are, like, amazing. Like, Steve Carell, like, obviously. And then, like, John Krasinski. Like, the whole... Like, there's a reason that it went on for so long.
Yeah, that last season got a little weird, though. Like, they started breaking the fourth wall with, like, the camera crew, and... Again, there's always that one season where I avoid it. Like, that last season, I watch it just to watch it, but I don't feel good about it. There's a season of Futurama like that where it's like a bunch of super quote-unquote feelsy episodes. Like, there's the one where it's all about Fry's dog and I want to cry.
Oh, no!
Or, like, Leela gets stung by a giant bee and it's her hallucinating that Fry's dead.
That's a sad time.
It is a super sad time, and I'm just like, I don't need that season in my life anymore. It's okay. It can just not exist.
You know what I don't need in my life anymore? The last season of Dexter.
I never got into that show.
It's great, to be honest.
Now, is that one you can watch over and over again, even though you know the ending?
It's so good. Like, honestly, I could.
Because I watched through Breaking Bad. You get, like, that... First couple episodes were a little rough, but once you get into it...
I can watch Breaking Bad over and over.
It was great. I can't watch it again, though. I can't watch it for a second time. Maybe a little bit further down the road, but not since, like, the series finale.
I just rewatched, like, all of One Tree Hill because I needed to introduce Andrea to it. Shout out to Andrea. I love you.
I guess that's a little bit different, though.
And then, like, I'm currently rewatching Grey's Anatomy for, like... I don't even know what time this is, but it's happening.
The Simpsons is one where I rewatch, and it seems like every time I do, there's always a new episode that I missed somewhere along the lines. And I think that's the only show that I'm able to do that with.
Huh.
Because it's going on its 26th season, and I even tried to do the whole, like, when they aired, like, every Simpsons episode, like, back-to-back. I tried to do that.
Oh, no.
I took paid time off of work the first time to try and do that.
Remember before Hulu and, like, Netflix, when you were like, man, like, I really like the show, but I missed, like, all the episodes. I have no idea what's happening. And then they're like, we got you, fam. We got a marathon. Until, like, you tried to literally watch, like, TV for, like, 48 hours straight because you didn't want to miss
the, like, episodes. The ABC, we literally have no excuse, so we're going to make one up, Harry Potter marathon.
It's Easter, Harry Potter. You got a 3-day weekend, Harry Potter. It's tax return day, Harry Potter. Like,
I remember Pearl Harbor with Harry Potter.
Everything is Harry Potter. I'm not complaining, though, let's
me
be
either, because I'll sit down and watch it.
Harry Potter is love, and Harry Potter is life.
Something they need to do is, again, Hulu's brought this up, and I know that you and Andrew watched Blank Check recently.
Yes.
They need to do a old school, like, Disney Channel old movies, because that's something I won't rewatch repeatedly. Like, I won't... Like, the Deadpool movie. I'll sit that and I'll watch it on a plane. It's my go-to plane movie,
like,
or train movie.
Let me get
movie.
Down with some Cadet Kelly.
Dude,
and
Cadet
some, Kelly. And some Brink.
Get a Clue. That's one that's streaming now.
Like, do you remember Brink?
The one with Lizzie Lohan? No, Brink was great. The one where, like, there was...
Smart House.
I haven't seen anything from any of those people except for, like, the lady who did the voice from the house, because she was Leela and she was the mom from... Married with Children.
And she was Hyde's mom on That 70s Show.
Yes. That's one where I have to be in a very special mood for That 70s Show, but I'll rewatch it. It's only certain episodes, though, or, like, I won't watch the episode where Eric's, or the season where Eric's gone.
Yeah, because that's just weird.
Yeah.
I would question, like, if you're okay.
But that is our question of the day for this morning. What movie or TV series or whatever is something that you can just sit down and watch time after time. Time after time.
I'm so sorry.
Time after time.
Why are we here?
But we'll be back with the situation after You're Still Last Summer by Taking Back Sunday. You're listening to The Buzz. The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. That was a favorite House Atlantic by Coheed and Cambria. And if you're waiting for Coheed and Cambria tickets because they're kind of sold out, rumor may or may not have it that we may or may not have tickets for it. You know, they may or may not have fallen off the back of a truck or something. We might have a guy. How's my, like, mafia impersonation going? Yeah? Good. Good. Danica, you there, buddy? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, good. You are working. Okay. I was concerned. I was like, is she dead?
Taylor was telling me a story, and I didn't realize...
Taylor can...
Sorry.
I guess fisticuffs me outdoors.
What?
She can fight me outside. Not even catch me outside, just straight up fight me. Because it's time for the situation, Adeka.
Okay.
And the first one we have... I don't know. I've been pretty lucky with phones, so we'll see what you think. The first situation we have is you get any phone you want forever, but the volume will never go to the highest.
Nope.
Nope, done?
Nope.
You just gotta be bumping your tunes 24/7, full blast?
Yeah, and what if you want to watch a YouTube video?
Well, you still get some volume. Get really good headphones, man.
No.
Well, 74% of the internet agreed with you and said... Well, no, they agreed with me and said they want any phone they want. Because, dude, getting, like, a really nice phone?
You can still do that and have...
And have volume? Not without going broke.
Not necessarily true.
Next one we have. You can become invisible at will, but you have to be naked for it.
Why do I feel like this is, like, something that Quagmire would want?
It almost reminds me of the movie Mystery Men, where Keenan was actually in that movie, and his character, his special power was he can turn invisible, but he had to be completely naked, and nobody could be looking at him. Like, he couldn't even be looking at himself.
What?
So, yeah, that was his power, though, is he could only become invisible if nobody was looking at him.
Okay.
And if he was wearing clothes, then, you know, you could see him being invisible, which makes sense, right? Your clothes don't also turn invisible with you. And if they did, that'd be weird.
Be very weird.
You get a little cold. Like, you no socks, no shoes, no nothing. It'd be a little chilly. I don't think I could do it. That or, like, if you're running around naked somewhere and you need to be, like, visible again and not naked... Do you just, like, have your clothing available ahead of time?
I don't know.
These are all questions I need answered, damn it. So I'm going to skip out on being invisible and nude.
Yeah, I think so, too.
82% disagreed, though, and said they'd be willing to shed the clothes if it meant they could just sort of hang out wherever without being seen.
I mean, like, if I wanted to just go to a concert... Like, I would just, like,
you
like,
can sneak into
invisible,
the
invisible naked person in the mosh pit. Or just, like, sneak into the concert and then, like, put my clothes back on.
Just buy merch from the table? Like, that $30 freaking Bret Michaels bandana?
Not buy the merch. You're invisible. You steal it.
Damn. So, this is ironic because we were talking about, like, who taught us to read earlier. And we were talking about Harry Potter. This one is, you have all 7 Harry Potter books, but... You cannot read.
Nope.
Nope? Just not worth it?
Because I can read, and I already have all 7 Harry Potter books.
Right? Like,
so joke's on you, whoever made this question.
I'm not sure. So, we'll look at it this way then. Either you have all 7 books, or you know how to read. You can't do both. Would you give up the ability to read just to have the books? Or is there one that you would give up so that you'd only have 6 but you could still read?
It doesn't specify the form that you have these books on. So I would go books on CD, like an audio version.
There you go.
Audio version. Because then I can be lazy about it.
Just have someone read to you, yeah.
Yeah.
70% of the internet said they would rather read and not have all the books.
If I can't read, like, and also, if I can read but not have Harry Potter, then, like, what's the point in reading?
Yeah, who needs, like, road signs or whatever? The stop sign's the red one. That's all I need to know. All right. Next one we have. We'll do this one. We'll call it our last one here. You can travel anywhere instantly, but you will live 20 years shorter, and teleporting will make your life 5 years shorter per time.
Oh, dang.
So, you instantly 20 years off the top. And then every time you use your power of transportation, that's another 5 years off your life.
Sounds like a bad deal, let's be honest.
I wouldn't... It'd be like a once-a-year vacation thing. Or, like, maybe once every so often. Like, could you imagine, like, going anywhere and not having to pay for, like, a plane or anything like that, though? Plus, who knows? Like, who knows if you have another 20, right? That'd be a bummer if, like, you took the deal and you're just like, oh, yeah, you're going to die in, like, 13 years of a heart attack. Sorry, kiddo.
I like flying, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm not as big of a fan because it's not like a... It's not an experience anymore, man. Like, when you flew, it was an experience. You had to dress up in your suit and tie, and you had to be all fancy, and now you get on there with in your sweatpants, and...
Where have you been flying?
Like, you ever go to the Museum of Flight?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Yeah, I try to remember the movie. Have you ever watched Catch Me If You Can?
No.
Really? With Leonardo DiCaprio? That movie's fantastic.
Isn't that just because it takes place in a time where, like, people didn't dress like complete trash? Like, when they were, like, just going out and about, like, people actually wore suits on, like, a daily basis and not, like, sweatpants and, like, Bret Michaels bandanas that they paid $30 for?
Maybe that's just what I need in my life. I need people to dress more fancy.
Do you want to start having fancy Fridays? Let's do it.
I don't have that many fancy clothes.
Well, you best get on it.
Oh, no. Well, that was the situation on 89.9 KGRGFM. We got your news coming up next, as well as your next chance to win Shaun of the Dead movie tickets. Again, that's your last chance to win them. It's going to be March 4th. Get that phone number ready to dial, 253-833-5004, or if you message us on Twitter or Facebook, take your pick. We'll give them to you that way, too.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Weird Elephant Film Series in the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. If you want to win tickets to see Shaun of the Dead for free, it's going to be a huge party. There's going to be a cosplay contest with awesome prizes like winning the entire movie theater to just rent out by yourself and play video games on. That's pretty sweet. Or like the Shaun of the Dead soundtrack on vinyl. All that's happening...
If
March
you win
4th.
That, do you have to play video games, or can you just, like, have, like, a weird screening party by yourself?
I don't know.
Like, what if you're like, yeah, I want to watch all the Twilight movies?
Well, like, I know, like, on my game console, like, Kat and I have a PS4, and we both, like, watch Netflix and stuff on it, so can we, like, log
just
into our
Netflix? Like, hey, girl, you want to Netflix and chill, and you just pull up to the Grand Cinema?
Dude!
That'd be so cool. You, like, you would...
Done.
You would have a good time.
Like, my panties would be dropped.
Mic drop and panty drop.
Woo! I'd be down. So if you want to win, 253-833-5004. There's also adult beverages and stuff. It's going to be a good time. I'm going to go.
I mean, as you should.
Right?
You just made the list!
But let's go ahead and get into some news. Like adorable giraffe news.
Oh.
Because a giraffe at Denver Zoo has quietly given birth to an unplanned baby Dobby. There was a...
Wait. Baby giraffes are called Dobbies?
No, that's the name of the baby giraffe.
He's a free elf.
But while millions of people have been anxiously awaiting the arrival of the baby giraffe in New York, there was one born at Denver Zoo, according to KDVR. Quote, we're celebrating the birth of Dobby, Denver Zoo's newest... reticulated giraffe calf, zoo officials said on Facebook. The birth announcement came as a surprise because the Denver Zoo has a policy of not announcing when its animals are expecting. Zoo officials have said the pregnancy itself was quote-unquote unplanned and that Dobby's mother, Kipel, sure, who picks these names, was actually on birth control. Sounds like somebody missed it. Zookeepers are suspected she might be pregnant despite her birth control because her stomach and udder were becoming larger. Dobby may not have been a planned birth, but now that he's here, we're excited to have him and look forward to him engaging with our guests.
He's a free elf.
Now, this isn't the one that was on that Facebook Live video that's been up for like days now. Did you watch any of that at all?
I didn't see it.
There's a Facebook Live video from the people at the zoo in New York of this giraffe who's about to give birth. They're like, she's going into labor, but for at least the first 3 days, it was just her on camera, like roaming around this little pen, being all weird and
pregnant-y.
Not quite pregnant-y, but like she's trying to get the baby out of her. She's just like, help, I'm a pregnant giraffe, get this thing out of me. Weird giraffe noise. Arr. That's my giraffe impression.
That's terrible.
I try.
My favorite part of the zoo is that you can pay like $5 and feed the giraffes like little leaves.
I'm done with zoos. Ever since like that kangaroo tried to pee on me and that goat tried to eat me, I'm done. I am done.
Oh.
Next news story we have. A mouse has delayed a London to San Francisco flight for 4 hours.
What?
A passenger suffered a 4-hour mouse delay Wednesday on a British Airways flight from London to San Francisco. Flyers were already on board the British Airways Boeing 777 and were ready to push back from the gate when a rodent-released ruckus began. Quote, somebody saw a mouse that scurried under one of the doors, passenger Chris Claybeau said. Quote, they kept us on the plane for about 15 minutes and told us we had to get off the plane because we couldn't fly with a mouse. Eventually, passengers on BA Flight 285 were put on a replacement aircraft because of a delay of 4 hours and 16 minutes, according to British Airways website. The flight made up time en route but still landed in San Francisco late, arriving 3 hours and 35 minutes past schedule.
That's ridiculous.
Because of a mouse on the plane and they couldn't even find it.
Snakes on a plane. The sequel.
They're basically like, screw it, we're just going to burn down this plane and let's get a new one. That'd be my reaction, though. Like, with a spider or, like, any sort of rodent like that, it's like, nope. Just, I don't care that that plane costs hundreds of thousands of possibly millions of dollars. Screw it.
Hundreds of thousands of possibly millions of dollars.
Yes. I don't care how expensive that plane is. It is just, like, a bunch of tin cans now. It might as well just be full of, like, fire. Last news story we have this morning, a nearly 100-year-old woman was arrested to fulfill her bucket list item.
I saw that and she looked so happy.
A Dutch woman approaching her 100th birthday she had persuaded local police to arrest her to fulfill an item on her bucket list. Police said that the woman, Andy, told police she was nearly 100 years old and had never been arrested, but she always wanted to know what it was like to, quote-unquote, experience a police cell from within.
That's legitimately the most pure thing I've ever heard in my life.
Andy was handcuffed and was placed in a cell where police snapped photos of her delighted expression as she showed off the cuffs on camera. Have you ever been to a prison?
Yeah. I was there over Christmas.
Oh, fun. How was that?
I mean, I was visiting a family member, so it's kind of depressing, but yeah.
I went to Alcatraz on a high school trip one time, and it was interesting. Because you go through, like, all the cells, and it had, some of the most famous gangsters ever. Like, Al Capone was put in there at one point.
Yeah.
You had the whole, like, escape from the rock and those people who left on the raft, like, from Mythbusters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that, like, I actually got to go to the place where that happened.
See, I want to go to Alcatraz and go on a tour, because, like, my prison experience is just playing Yahtzee for a couple hours.
And when you exit, there's no gift store. The crazy part of it was you had to, like, get on a ferry to get out there.
I like ferries, though.
They're nice, but it was just crazy to imagine, like, it's this prison obviously no longer in use, way out in the bay.
Bay. Prison bay.
But, like, then there's one just in downtown Tacoma at the top of the hill. Like, there's just a prison there.
I mean, it's
weird to think about. But, hey, everybody's got their goals, right? I don't think
I tried prison goals.
I don't think I ever want to get arrested when I turn 100, but who knows? We'll see how intact I am when I get there. So that's your news for this hour on 89.9 KJRG FM. Again, if you want to win free Shaun of the Dead tickets, we only have a pair left, so get them while we have them. 253-833-5004. That's going to be March 4th. We have Wade in studio. In just under an hour, he is the guy who started the whole thing. We'll be back after, sure, Mastodon. Show yourself on 89.9 KJRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
Locals and friends of the show waking things with their song Down Below on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and they're actually going to be playing at the High Dive April 16th. Like, April's next month, that's insane to think about. But it's time for our six pack, our top six things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. And Adeka, what do you got for us this morning?
Well, I'm dedicated, and these people were, like, way more dedicated than I'll ever be in my life.
Now, what kind of dedicated?
Like, in a scary way that's, like, good for no one.
Oh. Well, why don't you give me an example of number six?
So, number six, this guy who had a life goal of owning every single copy of Speed ever made on VHS.
Why wouldn't you, though?
In the hierarchy of Keanu Reeves' best roles with names that begin with a J, Jack Traven from Speed falls just below John Wick, but slightly above Johnny Utah. Now, we're not saying that Speed is a bad film, we're just saying that Keanu Reeves has done way cooler things, which is why Ryan Bates? I don't know how to say his name. Ryan Bates' goal of owning every copy of the film ever made on VHS is so hilariously brilliant. In a frank and rather surreal interview with Vice, Bates notes that there's no particular reason why he wants to own thousands upon thousands of copies of the same film in a now defunct but surprisingly hard-wearing format. He just thinks it would be cool to own them all, or at least as many as he can get his hands on. The best part is, Bates doesn't even look after his tapes. He just piles them up in the back of his van, which he's trying to make look like the bus from the movie. That's so cool. He doesn't even know how many copies of the film he has because he had never bothered to count them. And when asked, he simply responded, "Who really cares?" This guy's living his best life.
Like, how do you even track how many are out there? Do you just, like, see some at, like, a garage sale or, like, Goodwill and you're just, like, done?
Or maybe he just, like, buys them all off Amazon or, like, Craigslist, like, yo, anybody want this copy of Speed?
Because, like, I kind of get collecting stuff because you're into it, but just collecting it just because is a little weird. Like, my uncle, he built a statue out of a bunch of toys. Like, he built a dinosaur statue.
That's cool.
So he had people, whenever they saw a green toy or if they had any green toys lying around, he's like, yo, send me all your green plastic toys so I can make this statue out of it.
Yeah, but he at least had, like, a purpose and a vision of what he was doing. This dude's just like, I'm gonna fill up my van with some Speed.
I'm pretty sure there's a drug dealer out there saying the same exact thing.
I know.
Let's go ahead and do number five.
So, speaking of collecting things, there's a guy who owns every Dreamcast game ever made.
That's pretty legit.
The Dreamcast is one of many failures on behalf of Sega to defeat their eternal blood rivals, Nintendo, in the apparently never-ending console war. Like the Sega 32X and Sega Saturn, before it, the Dreamcast was considered a righteously flaccid commercial failure, which is a shame because it had some pretty good games. And of course, there's a person out there who owns all of them, including a bunch of games he doesn't understand and will never play.
And those video games, once you get towards like the rare ones, can be pretty damn expensive. Like, the most expensive PlayStation 1 game is a game called Tomba, where you're this like little caveman dude with pink hair, and you just go around eating things like there are these evil pigs that try to take over the world, and you just sort of eat them.
That's adorable.
And then, like, for Nintendo 64, there's Conker's Bad Fur Day. There's also it's a Pokemon game that came out called Hey You Pikachu, where not only do you have to have the game, but you have to have the microphone attachment to it, and you don't actually play using a controller. You play by, like, yelling at Pikachu and telling him to do stuff, and it just gets terribly frustrating.
Oh, no.
I actually own a copy, and I own the microphone to go with it. Awful game, but it's just cool to have.
That's fun. Yeah, it says that anyone who has a Steam account will tell you that sometimes you will buy a video game because it's like $2 and then never play it, simply because you never have the time. But this is different because Tom Enright, that's the dude, has gone out of his way to buy video games he will literally never open and thus will never use for their intended purpose. It's kind of like buying a book that you will never read, only the book comes with a giant set of plastic something. I don't even know.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. Like, yeah. Any game I buy, and I've actually gone away from buying physical copies of games anymore just because, like, you end up losing the disc or get scratched and you can't use it anymore, or just, it's tough to do physical copies anymore. I just buy digitally. I won't buy a game that I won't at least play through and beat the story on. I might not complete it 100% and, like, get all the, like, trophies or whatever, but if I buy a game, I'll at least play it. Buying a game and not playing it and just collecting it, it's sort of stupid.
Yeah.
I get holding on to it for, I guess, historical reasons, but that's about it.
Okay, so number 4 makes me so happy. This guy who rage bought a bunch of toys so other people couldn't have them.
Sort of like those people who went crazy over, like, Tickle Me Elmo, or...
So remember that guy that, like, bought all the apple pies in Burger King just to spite an annoying kid? Remember that story?
Yes, or it's like, I just watched one of the Christmas episodes of The Office where, like, Dwight bought a bunch of, like, this unicorn doll or whatever just so he could sell it back to other people.
Yeah, but, like, everyone thought that, like, it was awesome, even though, like, I guess later it turned out to be, like, fabricated or whatever. So, like, just imagine if that happened for real, only the guy, like, buying everything did it just because he didn't want other people to be happy, not to teach a child an important lesson about moderation.
It's like, no, this is mine now.
So, I guess this happened in January. I don't know what year.
It happened in a January.
Happened in a January. For eager gamers looking to get their hands on the latest batch of Amiibos being released by Nintendo, the guy identified as Dose, reportedly bought 100 Amiibos of the character Rosalina purely so that her fans couldn't get one. He revealed that he had tens of thousands of dollars stockpiled so that he could do it again just to annoy a few people who liked something he didn't. He doesn't even like Rosalina.
She's just like, I want the thing. Nobody else can have the thing. I want the thing.
No, he doesn't even like the character. That blows my mind even more. We feel it's important to note that every character this guy is wrong with happened to be female. Oh, what a jerk. And that he was, shall we say, coarse in his choice of language, describing the reasons for disliking them. That said, we can't fault the man on his dedication, even if he's apparently dedicated to just being generally unpleasant.
So is he even going to do, like, a book-burning thing with it and just, like, set it on fire?
I don't know, but, like, would you spend, like, thousands and thousands of dollars to just buy something that you completely hate just so other people couldn't buy it? Like, that's intense. Like,
if money was no object, I would buy a couple of strawberry fields and set them on fire, sure.
But strawberry fields forever.
I hated that scene in the what was that movie? Across the Universe?
Just because of strawberries?
I hated that scene in that movie. He's just like, the main character was going insane and like nailing strawberries to pieces of paper. It's like, it's art. I'm angsty. It's like, dude, screw you, man. It's not art, you son of a bitch. I don't know where I'm going.
I don't know either, friend.
I'm super angsty for strawberries, I guess. So yeah. I'd buy a couple of strawberry fields and set them on fire just so that nobody else could have strawberries. I told Thursday, yo, if you eat strawberries, you ain't getting none of this. None. You best go brush your teeth or something.
Strawberries are literally my favorite.
Well, that's part one of our six pack on 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll be back with part two of the top six most committed people, or people who honestly should be committed, after a nice place to visit by These Young Fools. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six pack.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn. Also broadcasting on K207 AP Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. That was a nice place to visit by These Young Fools. And you're listening to The Buzz. We're in the middle of our six pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome, and this morning's is definitely strange.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
We're in the middle of our top six most committed people. People I think honestly should be committed to, like, the mental institute. But Danica, hit him with a recap. What was 6, 5, and 4?
So, you got the guy who wants to own every single copy of Speed ever made on VHS. The guy who owns every Dreamcast game ever made. And the angry dude that's, like, hates women probably that bought every... That, like, Rage bought every toy of a certain type of amiibo, so just so people couldn't have it.
I mean, it makes it a little bit more rare, right? And you can sell it later.
Yes.
But that's not his plan. So let's go and get into number three, then.
So, number three. A guy bought every other seat in a cinema so couples couldn't sit together, and I think that's really
yes!
funny.
That is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
So Valentine's Day is one of the most difficult days of the year to find a seat in a restaurant or cinema because almost everywhere is filled with couples. And for most people, this is a minor inconvenience. For one man in China, it was a personal insult. The man, who posted online under the name Up, was so incensed by the thought of young couples enjoying each other's company that he gathered a group of equally sad and lonely friends and booked out every other seat in a Shanghai cinema. He then took to online message boards to brag about his plan, which we sure helped him immensely on the whole getting a girlfriend friend.
Mr. Up, wherever you are, sir, take a bow.
Please
like, you are
do.
Now my favorite person.
Like, even though, like, I'm happy in a relationship, like, I think this is hilarious.
If this happened to me, I wouldn't even be mad.
I would not, like...
Sorry, Thursday, we're sitting with this dude in between us, and that dude would be my best friend.
Just having, like, share the popcorn, and, like, you and Thursday can, like, reach over and, like, hold hands in the popcorn.
Or do the old, like, reach around with the arm.
You have to have a really long arm.
My arms are pretty long, or at least make that dude so uncomfortable he switches seats, right?
I guess.
Or, again, you might end up with a new friend, who knows, but that's just beautiful. That guy's my favorite. So let's go and do number two.
The man who owns the moon.
He owns the moon?
So, in 1980, a man called Dennis Hope was looking for a way to make some money when he looked out the window and saw the moon. After pondering for a moment, Hope half remembered that the 1967 Space Treaty said that no country could own the moon. But it didn't say anything about individuals, so he decided to write a letter to the UN and declare ownership of it, something no one had apparently thought of before. As it turns out, the treaty Hope was thinking of did actually specifically state that individuals can't own the moon, but that hasn't stopped him from selling off plots of land on it for decades. When asked to comment on the fact that he's essentially selling people useless pieces of paper, he responded by saying because the moon isn't in the UN, he doesn't have to abide by their rules. And you know, even though as a member of the United States, he couldn't own it in the first place.
Well, you can still, like, own stars and stuff and, like, buy stars and name them after people, so why can't you own pieces of the moon?
Because there's, like, billions and billions and billions of stars. And to have a treaty for every single star, like, that would be ridiculous. But the moon... Everybody knows about the moon.
Dude, I want to claim parts of the sun now and then just have that Smash Mouth song on repeat, like, as my ringtone.
No.
And now you're walking on the sun. Yes.
No.
Because now I own the sun. That's officially, as of this morning, I now own the sun. And any, like, supervillain who tries to blow it up, I will be very angry at you.
God damn it.
So let's go ahead and do number one.
This one's probably my favorite on the whole list. This is a man who's dedicated to calling out rappers wearing fake watches.
Honestly? Yeah, if you're going to pose like that, good for him. Call out those tacky, like, fake watch wearers.
So, ever since smartphones with built-in clocks became the norm, watches have become more of a fashion accessory than anything you necessarily need. However, just because we don't need watches anymore doesn't mean that they aren't still popular, because really nice watches tend to cost Kanye levels of money. A lot of people resort to buying fakes, which is, well, a little sad, but you gotta do what you gotta do. So, an Instagram user going by the name of Fake Watch Busta, that's amazing just in itself, agrees with the sentiment and has dedicated his time, to trawling through all of the swag, hashtag swag, hashtag ballin', and hashtag living like an OG tags on the site, looking for and then pointing out fake watches, which can result in some pretty funny wannabe rappers and even real rappers.
Just reminds me of that guy from Family Guy who's just like, this guy is a phony. He's a big fat phony.
Yeah. So I guess along with busting tryhards and posers, Fake Watch Busta has managed to catch up famous rappers like Ice-T, Rick Ross, and Soulja Boy. So the best part is that according to the anonymous man himself, he hides his identity due to inexplicable legal threats from jewelers selling fakes. He has no formal training in horology? He just likes watches. Sorry, that was a hard word to say. I used to like fix watches, and I've never heard that word before, but whatever.
Can't believe he got Ice-T. Like, that's one guy who I always thought would do legit no matter what, but I guess knockoffs are knockoffs. What do you got for number one?
Number one?
Yeah.
That was number one.
Thought that was number two.
No, number two was the man who owns the moon.
Where am I?
I don't know.
I know where I am. I'm super excited for our guest. He's actually on his way. He'll be here in a couple minutes. We got Wayne from the Grand Cinema. He is also the, I guess, I'm not sure what the word is for the guy who started it. Like, he who started it. He started the Weird Elephant series at the Grand Cinema. He's going to be up here to talk about Shaun of the Dead. He's going to be up here to talk about Hot Fuzz. He's going to be up here to talk about The World's End, all movies known under the Cornetto Trilogy, directed by Edgar Wright, and I'm super excited to talk to him because Edgar Wright is, like, one of my favorite directors ever. He's, like, the only director I actually know besides James Cameron or, like, I forgot his name, but Mr.
Quentin Tarantino.
I know Quentin Tarantino, but I was gonna say, like, Mr. Explodey Pants, the dude who, like, uses explosions and everything.
Oh.
Is that James Cameron?
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, there you go. Mr. Explodey Face.
I thought he said Mr. Explodey Pants, and I was like, I just immediately thought of diarrhea.
But Wade will be up here at 8:20, so if you have any questions you want to ask him about films in general, call us and let us know. We're like cult classics. That's going to be something I want to ask him about. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. Wade will be up here at 8:20.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Grand Cinema in Tacoma and their Weird Elephant film series. If you want to win free tickets to see Shaun of the Dead this Saturday, March 4th, they're going to have a huge party with local beer, local vendors, local ice cream, plus a costume contest with huge prizes. All you have to do is call 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004, and we'll get you on the list for free.
Excellent.
But it's time for the news with Jay. Jay, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing pretty well, you know. Weather's at least decent for right now. It's not looking so good later on, but
at least it's not snowing, right?
Yeah. I mean, for you guys that aren't used to it, I'm sure it's a pretty good shock for people around here.
I mean, it's March. We're not used to this, man.
Montana's expecting 3 more feet of snow by the end of the weekend.
I couldn't do it.
All right, so getting into the news. Local Seattle, King County has been under a little bit of a debacle after the West Point Water Treatment Plant is in need of repair after wastewater had flooded the main complex earlier last month. There has not been an exact damage report, which has frustrated certain King County Council members. With the plant unable to operate at 100%, the plant is unable to meet federal standards that is extremely required for specific machines. The flooding, which was several feet thick of sewage in some areas, has caused a still unknown amount of damage, along with their secondary pump system inoperable. If you're planning on going up to Seattle this weekend, stay off of the Highway 99 viaduct. It will be shut down for the semi-annual inspection, starting at 6 a.m. Saturday and stopping for the day at 6 p.m. It is going to be picking up Sunday. However, on Sunday, the northbound lane will be shut down, only the northbound lane, for the majority of the day. The shutdown will start on the street of South Spokane and end on Battery Street Tunnel. For the weather today, as I was saying, is at least nice out, a little bit of cloudy and kind of chilly, but we're looking at a high of 48 with a 60% chance of rain this afternoon, going into Friday with a high of 49, which is the highest that we're going to see over the weekend, is going to be 90% chance of rain, which is kind of saddening, but
still though, like, we aren't even going to hit 50 this weekend?
No, no.
Oh, man.
50 is going to be closer on next week, but that's still actually kind of looking a little bit miserable. But for the weekend for us, you know, party goers, work hard and party hard. Saturday, we're looking at a high of 47 with a 60% chance of rain throughout the day, and finishing off Sunday with the lowest high of 45 with another 60% chance of rain. So it's going to be a little bit of doom and gloom going on around here.
I mean, I grew up in Washington. I get it. I'm used to it, but still. There's nothing like those last few months before spring, or even like leading into spring, where we just get like super hard windstorms and super hard rainstorms leading into like the nice part of spring. It's just the worst.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was looking at the radar that's moving in, and it's a huge front that's coming in, and it got to the point where on Saturday, it was just a wall of green going across the west.
And I don't need that.
All right. Well, hey, you guys have fun. I'll catch you later.
Well, dude, thanks for the news. That was Jay with the news on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we have our guest, Wade, from the Grand Cinema Tacoma. He's going to be up here to talk the Cornetto Trilogy, the Weird Elephant series, and more. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We'll be back after 6 years on Dope by NoFX.
Good news, everyone. We've got a very special delivery today.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And I do have a very special guest indeed. I have Wade from the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. He is the founder, creator, person who started it.
Yes.
Of the Weird Elephant film series. Good morning, sir. Thanks for coming in studio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Made the trek up from Tacoma. I make that trek almost daily, and it sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks
a lot. It's kind of a wander, yeah.
But I'm glad you made it. Thanks for coming in. And we're here to talk about, since this is your first time up here, just what exactly the Weird Elephant series is.
Okay, so Weird Elephant. Okay, the Grand Cinema is a nonprofit independent cinema. We've been running for 20 years. This is our 20th birthday this year as a nonprofit. So
that's
kind of cool, right? Well, I was on the board, and I got hired on as one of the directors there almost 2 years ago. And they didn't have a cult or late night series because they didn't have anybody to kind of steer it. And they were like, hey, you want to start a cult late night series? And I said, yes. So for the first year, we focused on new releases, and we were just once a month. And so that was going great. We have a really awesome, dedicated audience, but I wanted to take it deeper. So I made a pitch to go weekly, and now we're weekly. So we're every Saturday night at 11 is what we're doing. So we're at the movie theater. We have to do late night, right? We have to do weird stuff. We have to get deep into the catalog and push weirder and weirder into horror, sci-fi, cult, and just bizarre nostalgia. I don't know where it's going to go yet, but we've got a starting point at least right now. So
Well, what makes a movie a cult movie? Because they definitely got a different feel to them than any sort of other, like, big screen blockbuster.
That's a good question, because some people are telling me that cult movies are kind of some that I consider like classics, like Taxi Driver and things like that, are those cult movies. And then some people are looking at cult movies as more nostalgia, like 90s superhero movies, or sometimes kids movies like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and things like that. But mostly it's just like people who, I think anything that you can quote from and is in the kind of genre area, like horror, sci-fi, and just kind of bizarre stuff, or directors who have just unique visions that are, you can't see anywhere else, and just kind of touch that part of your brain that says, who am I, you know, that kind of stuff.
And every time, like, the biggest ones that come to mind for me are a little bit more along, like you said, the sci-fi horror genre, where it's like the Toxic Avenger, Night of the Living Dead is one that almost comes up for me, or like I'm trying to think of another one.
All the Living Dead ones,
Ash versus Living Dead. All those, it's almost got sort of a creepy feel to it for me.
Yeah, some of them can be creepy. Some of them can have an element of humor in them, which I really like. Comedy horror is a big part of it, and we'll probably be touching on that in a minute about as far as our launch party. But it's hard to pin down exactly what it is, but I've got a whole, if you look at our Facebook page, I've got a whole list of stuff that is cult oriented. Like, I'm going to do Cult 101, so we'll dip back into David Lynch and directors like that, Wes Craven and David Cronenberg, kind of high-minded cult guys, documentary cult. You know, music cult. I'd love to have like Spinal Tap and weird disco movies like Xanadu and Can't Stop the Music, and just get totally weird during the summertime, you know, that kind of thing. And some kind of like psychedelic cult movies, quotable cult. I really want to bring in like The Big Lebowski. And that's another stuff. Like that,
oh my,
you know?
Gosh, yeah.
You know, yeah, stuff like that, you know, stuff where people remember the lines and quote them at each other. So I've got a whole list of ideas. This is kind of an exclusive for your listeners. I'm working on a program for the next month, because we can talk about our launch here in a second, but our next month is, I'm working on one called Reality is Overrated, which kind of touches on issues of reality and identity. So there's Donnie Darko's doing a re-release, so that's one that I'm hopeful to book. Cross fingers. You can't see, but I'm crossing my fingers. I have to wait and make sure that the whole package comes together. But yeah, I'm going to do them.
That's super exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to do them in little packages. And one of the cool things that I'm planning, we've started, and I'm planning to do, is we're really hyper local. We love local artists. We love local beers. We love local companies of any kind. You know, we're all about connections and friendships between us and other businesses. So what I'm trying to do is hire local artists to do custom posters for each series. Like every, you know, month we'll have a different really cool custom poster. And they're getting made as we speak, but we have some posters for our first series, which maybe we should talk about that. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Well, those exclusives are huge, because we actually talked to somebody yesterday, one of our fellow DJs on here, about he's going to Emerald City Comic Con. And
yeah,
with those cons, it's always about the exclusives.
Yeah.
And it's always about those exclusive posters, those exclusive t-shirts. So the fact that you guys are making one for the film series, it's actually really neat.
Yeah, they're going to be hand screened too, you know.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so they're hand screen printed, so these are like frameable, you know. These are put them up on your wall forever. So they're gonna be frameable, they're gonna be signed. We'll talk about the artist, I guess. His name's Jeremy Gregory. I've known him since middle school. They didn't even have middle school when I went to school with him, but he is a really talented artist, and he put together a really cool poster for our first foray into the new weekly upgrade.
Well, let's talk about the launch then.
Okay.
This is your launch into the first weekly ones. You've done the monthly leading up to this.
Yeah. Yeah. So the weekly upgrade is going to start with the Cornetto trilogy, right? Which your listeners hopefully we'll know is the three Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg movies, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End. So we're of course starting it off with Shaun of the Dead, and that's this Saturday. the movie's at 11, but the party is at 10, and we're doing like a bunch of different stuff. Like, first there's a cosplay costume contest, so if you come as a zombie or Sean or any character from the movie, I have a secret costume that is neither of those, but it's just kind of a weird, it's a little bit of a dorky one. But so we're doing the costume contest, and you could win a bunch of cool prizes. The grand prize is a professional zombie makeover by Tim from Cast of Thousands Studio. I think it's just him, but he's like a professional makeup artist, total genius, and he has put up as a prize of a makeover. So if you want to, like, for your next con, if you want to look like the best zombie or whatever, I'm sure you could get him to do whatever, or I don't know, not whatever, you know, but that's the grand prize. So if you show up looking like a pretty good zombie, you're going to get a really awesome zombie outfit later on. So there's that, and then we have what, so Cornetto, for those of you who, those of us who don't know, it's the ice cream that they base. Do you know about that, the Cornetto thing? Or
I knew why they named it after, or I knew that it was involved in the plots, and there are actually scenes that actually show the rappers, but right. I didn't know why they named the series after that.
So no. It's kind of probably an in joke. It's kind of hard to parlay it to the United States, because it's a kind of ice cream that's available in Europe and Britain only. For whatever reason, it's not available here. It's kind of like, it's like a gas station ice cream cone, and it's everywhere. And they're also actually pretty delicious. They're very good, but they're kind of like a drumstick. They come all wrapped up and free, but they're like a fancy drumstick, basically. And so I think the first one is a joke because they're kind of hungover, and he's like, "Would you want me to get you anything from the shop?" And the other character says, you know, he says, "Cornetto," you know? And so that's like a classic, like if you're hungover, you might have a Cornetto or something like that, you know? So, so you cannot buy these ice cream cones in North America. I don't know why, but they have never released them here, and they're impossible to get. I was thinking about going to Canada to get them, but they don't even have them in Canada.
And I can't imagine they'd ship very well either. Like, you can't just buy them in on Amazon or anything, or they just melt, right?
Yeah, ice cream tends to melt. Yeah, it's true. So that wasn't going to work. So I just had this crazy idea, and I called up Ice Cream Social, who's a really delicious high-end ice cream shop in Tacoma, and I just talked them into coming in, and they're gonna make a Tacoma Cornetto special for the party on Saturday. So you go in, walk into what's gonna happen is you're gonna walk in at 10, there's gonna be an ice cream stand right in our theater, and they're gonna be making these special strawberry flavored, matching up with Shaun of the Dead Tacoma Cornettos. And he's going to blow away Cornettos because it's Ice Cream Social. I mean, this company, the ice cream will just bowl you over. So, and it's going to be in a super homemade waffle cone and all this stuff with, I don't know, it's going to be great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I know. They're so cool. They were just like, we'll do it. And we're going to have Guinness there, which we usually don't. So we have beer and wine there too.
Okay.
So, you know, for those of you who are over 21, and many of us are, we have that. And so we usually don't have Guinness. So we're going to have Guinness special for Shaun of the Dead, because it's this British, you know, go down to the Winchester and have a pint type British pub style stuff. And then we're going to have karaoke in the lower lobby. We had this kind of a party room. We're going to have karaoke with selections from
The soundtrack itself?
The soundtrack and the Hot Fuzz and World's End soundtrack. Because turns out some of the songs are not really karaokeable, you know, from just the one Shaun of the Dead. Kind of like a Mystics kind of horror sound that you can't really sing to, right? So we're pulling some of the tracks. Because the World's End has a lot of 90s Brit rock and stuff like that that would be really fun to sing, I think. So it's going to be really, and and we've got some selections from, I don't know if you remember, there's no spoilers, but there's a scene where they throw records at the zombie in the first Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah,
they throw the vinyl. So we're taking a couple selections from Prince, Purple Rain, and what is the other one? He throws
so that was that first scene when they were in his house. I can't remember the records, but yeah, that's really exciting. They're actually taking stuff from, they're taking references from the movie and just like not the soundtrack or anything like that.
Yeah.
Now, the hardest time I had explaining to somebody was why these movies are considered a trilogy, because there isn't a storyline that goes through all three movies. They're all independent storylines, and they all sort of stand on their own, but they are considered the Cornetto trilogy.
Yes. They all have the ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Well, they have the ice cream cone, and then they also, they seem to have a sort of a surprise invading force of beings that is they have to fight against.
And
does
they,
that make sense?
Well, it does. Yeah. Because,
you got your zombies. You got well, because if you look at if you look at our poster, you got zombies, and then there are aliens or something. And the last one is sort of like a robot thing going on. So yeah,
and they
so,
had the cultist town people. Yeah,
yeah, cult. Yeah, right, cultish townspeople, and those and the sort of alien robots or whatever from the last one. But yeah, so it's kind of and they also they're all funny. That's and they
they're
have the same actors. They have the same actors. Yeah,
They're all. Led by, they're all directed by Edgar Wright. They're all led by Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. And
right.
For those of, like, there are a lot of people who might be familiar with Edgar Wright's work and not know it. I know that he directed the Ant-Man movie from Marvel.
Right.
He did Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I know there are a ton of people who are fans of that movie.
Yeah. And that could be one. That could be one. Hey, if the people tell me they want to come and see it, see a movie, I'll definitely think about it. The more people... Go to my webpage, like our Facebook page, and then and send me messages saying, we want to see this one, we want to see this one, because the more people who will actually come will definitely make things like that happen, just to say.
And Edgar Wright has a very just identifiable directorial style.
I agree.
It's super snappy. He does a lot of clips. He does a lot of flashbacks. I think one of my favorite things he does is he'll do flashbacks, except he'll use the voice of whoever's narrating.
Yeah.
For example... Again, in the Ant-Man movie, when he was like going, I forgot his name, but there was a character who was trying to explain how he found out about the first heist. He was like, so-and-so told me this and so-and-so told me this, but he was actually saying the words. It was him voicing over just a random character.
Yeah.
And it's super quirky.
I like the way he does that. Yeah. It's a style.
And
it's good to have a theme.
It's what like it's either him or you have James Cameron, who he's another one, or Michael Bay, who's, I know Michael Bay for using explosions. And
yes.
I know Edgar Wright for being super quirky. So if you're going to the movie, be expecting a lot of the dry British humor, too.
Yeah, dry British humor. Witty British
Very
humor.
Very witty.
Is it witty? Is it dry or wet? It's kind of wet.
Yeah, it's a little bit more slapstick than most.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad either, and you'll find yourself laughing a lot.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. I don't think there's another zombie movie out there to where they intentionally make you laugh. I've seen movies where they make you laugh, but it's just because they're so awful.
It's the top. This is the top comedy horror film of all time, I think. Yeah. You have, and this one's a great one. I think it's been out so long, you know, it's been out long enough where fewer people have seen it on the big screen, too. They may have seen it at home, but they haven't seen it in the theater with a, you know, big sound system and things like that. And we have a pretty good sound system upgrade that we did last year, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think I've only ever seen it on like Comedy Central or something.
See?
I've never actually seen the full theatrical cut in a theater, so that's really exciting that you guys are doing that and being able to bring that in there.
Oh, yeah.
If people want to help support Weird Elephant, help support the Grand Cinema, because you guys are nonprofit, how can they do that?
Well, I mean, the number one thing is go to movies. That's it. Go to movies. That's the biggest support you can ever give us, and we want to see you in the seats, and we want you to come down and have fun. Buying tickets in advance helps, too, because then it just shows your commitment to supporting independent theater and interesting events like the one we've got starting up. Buying our posters that we're making. I'm making about 100 posters, and I want to sell them all and put them up on your wall and keep them forever. That's the number one thing. We've also got T-shirts. I'm wearing one.
You are wearing a T-shirt.
You can't see it over the radio, though, but what does it look like?
It's got like an elephant with tentacles coming off of him.
Yeah, he's like a Cthulhu elephant. Yeah.
Yeah, how'd you come up with that logo? Or did you have somebody make it? Or
it's in house. How did we come up with it? Well, our original symbol is an elephant for the Grand Cinema, but it's kind of a profile.
Yeah.
And that's, he's sort of carrying films like water or something like that, like water bearing a film. And so that's been our logo for a long time. So I just came up with the idea, Weird Elephant, you know, to do a twist on our basic logo. And then I am a big kind of Cthulhu fan. Like, I'm such a nerd. I play Call of Cthulhu, pen and paper RPG, that kind of stuff. So and I got a whole stack of books, and I thought, well, maybe the elephant should have tentacles instead of he should have tentacles instead of a trunk. Turns out there's kind of a Indian god that has, there's Ganesh, but there's a version of it that has a sculpture where there's all these multi trunks coming out of its face, and it looks really cool, but it didn't quite fit. But anyway, so we made a sort of Cthulhu elephant out of it.
There you go. And you guys are all, you guys are volunteer based for the most part. Or how can people volunteer?
Oh, volunteering.
Yeah.
Oh, students. You volunteering would be, is, or non-students too. You come down and you can go to our website and there's a little bar on there that says you could volunteer. Get a form, turn it in. Volunteering is extremely helpful. Volunteers pretty much do all our popcorn slinging and drink pouring and theater cleaning. And but it's a lot of fun to come in there, and we all, the staff pitches in too. So it's really super helpful, and it's a really good way to get, you know, if you need participation in supporting community things, or you want to support something really cool, you want to learn more about how film exhibition works and all that kind of stuff, it's a really great opportunity to do so. So you can stop by our box office in Tacoma and just grab a form, or online there's a form, or you email, find somebody on the website and email them. And we're a small staff, so it'll get to where it needs to go.
And one last thing I wanted to touch on is you guys are taking submissions for the Tacoma Film Festival, because that's another thing the Grand Cinema ends up running, right?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. So submissions are open right now, and if you have a film, submit it. Yeah. And there's also, just so you know, there's usually a fee. If you're a Washington State resident, there's a fee waiver.
Oh, wow. That's really nice. Yeah. So were telling me earlier, you and Darcy, that you guys fly people out of state. Like, this is a huge deal. And some of the prize support for it is insane, like thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. So for our feature, I got to look this up now.
Oh, yeah.
For our feature length documentaries and feature length narratives, there's a $5,000 prize. And then there's a $1,000 prize for a lot of the other stuff. So we have a total of $17,000 in prizes that we give out to, that we will be giving out to the filmmaker winners of the different categories. And it is a big deal. There are a lot of people who come in from out of state. It's a really a growing film festival. What's really cool, if you're a filmmaker interested in film, to come and hobnob with some of these people. We have a portion of that film festival. It's called 25 New Faces of Film. So we bring in these up and coming filmmakers to interact with our audience and the people who go to the film. And then they also meet other filmmakers. It's really a great place to make connections with some of the top filmmakers. For instance, who's a good example? A couple of years ago, we had David Lowery, who went on to make a good indie called Ain't Them Body Saints. And then he made Pete's Dragon. And I believe, I can't remember what his next project is. He made a movie that was at Sundance last year called A Ghost Story with Casey Affleck in it. That's coming out. So we catch them right at there when they're on the upswing, and they've been to Tacoma and they hang out with us, and then they go on and
those are big
win
jumps.
Oscars and stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's big, it's really big talent. So save the date. That's in October, second week of October. And submissions are now open, and we do have we will usually have a local section, or hopefully it'll just get mixed in with everything else. So it's really cool to be up, if you're a filmmaker, to be up there on a panel with some of these really talented filmmakers who tend to be really nice people, and it's just a lot of fun. We have parties, and it's great. It's a great time.
Now, for local bands listening, and I've already told a few bands that I've met doing interviews and stuff, that there's a music video portion, and you guys are looking for a lot of local artists, and one of the stipulations for that is that it has to be unpremiered until the film festival, correct?
That's correct.
So if you're looking at registering for the film festival, submitting something, make sure you submit. There's a late deadline coming, or the actual deadline's coming up really soon.
The early bird deadline passed, but the deadline, you kind of caught me off guard here. I think it's in June, so there is some time.
A little bit of time to make sure you get your stuff together.
Yep, but go to the TacomaFilmFestival.com. That's a separate website, so then you can find out the info there. The info's there.
You can also find the Weird Elephant tab. You guys have your own thing there, and it's under the Programs tab there. So make sure you check out, and what's your Facebook page, because Weird Elephant has its own separate Facebook page, right?
Yeah, just look up Weird Elephant on Facebook and we'll be there. There's not too many out there. It's Weird Elephant Theater after the slash. It says Weird Elephant Theater.
Just look for the giant elephant with the tentacles coming off of it.
That's it. That's it.
Well, Wade, thank you so much for taking time to come up and visit with us this morning. I know it's a drive. It's a good half an hour, 45 minute drive up here. So thank you for taking your time up here, and I'm really excited, and when I heard that you guys are doing the Coronado Trilogy for your first introduction to the weekly thing, I was overwhelmed.
Great. I hope you're coming, right?
I am coming for sure. I'll be there next Saturday. We already have a ton of ticket winners, and we have actually one pair left to win.
Oh, cool.
We're down to one pair left.
I'm looking forward to having them down there. That's great.
So So thank you so much. This was Wade from the Weird Elephant series. He hosted at the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. The first one's going to be Shaun of the Dead. That's going to be March 4th this Saturday. Party starts at 10 with beer, karaoke, more, and then the movie itself starts at 11. So make sure you get down there early. Find yourself parking, because parking can be a little interesting sometimes in downtown Tacoma.
Don't worry about parking. You'll make it. Everything's going to happen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Old Fires, New Frontier by Casket on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You've been listening to The Buzz. And again, I'd like to thank our special guest, Wade, from the Weird Elephant film series. He works for the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. Thank you so much for coming up. And he wraps up our third guest on Guestapalooza Week, which means we have a couple more guests. Tomorrow we will have Matt and Tim, our weekly guests for Geeky News. That's going to be at 6:20 tomorrow morning. Don't miss it, because we have a lot to talk about. Ton to talk about with Matt and Tim. Always love having them up. We also have award-winning journalist Charlie Harger. He's going to be up tomorrow morning at 8:20. Tell us all about fake news and what it means to be a reporter and what fake news means to him. We are also going to be playing a very rousing game of Is It Real or Is It Fake News? So, Charlie, I hope you're studying, buddy. Get ready, because I'm bringing the heat. But this has been The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. If you've missed this episode, any of our past episodes, or maybe you just want to listen to the interviews from Guestapalooza Week or any of our past interviews, you can check out kgrg.com, click that shows tab, click The Buzz, and we have all of our stuff on demand there. We also have our interviews on the podcast section of kgrg.com. It's also completely mobile and completely free. If you download the official KGRG FM app, you can find all of our stuff on demand there, or we're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, basically anywhere you want to listen to The Buzz, you can do it. But until tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. on 89.9 KGRG FM. This has been The Buzz, Guestapalooza Week.